Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind and My Wellness podcast. And today we have an amazing guest that I'm so excited to have on the podcast. I love following her on Instagram. She provides so much great value at her Instagram account at Nourished by Nutrition. And I'm so excited to welcome Jess Bippin to the show. She's a registered dietitian nutritionist with a master's in nutrition therapy, and she specializes in women's hormone health, blood sugar balance, and helping women optimize their wellness through every season of life without the obsession or perfection. She's a mom of two boys, and she spends so much of her time building out great content and delicious recipes on her Instagram at Nourished by Nutrition. And I'm so excited because in today's episode, we dove into everything related to blood sugar, which is a huge topic right now. And we dive into different signs that you can look for to show if your blood sugar is unstable and why it's so important that we pay attention to our blood sugar, different tips and tricks to help balance your blood sugar, and additional information for those looking to dive in a little bit deeper. So without further ado, let's dive into the episode. Welcome to the Mind and My Wellness podcast, your podcast for all things macros, movement, mindset, and everything in between. I'm your host, Dani Marienberg, an ex-yo-yo dieting cardio junkie turned sustainable nutrition coach who's helped over 1,000 women feel confident in their skin by learning how to eat for their goals without sacrificing a life well lived. I created the Mind and My Wellness podcast to give you simple, effective, and manageable tips you can take away from each episode and implement in your daily life to look and feel like the best version of you. Each week, my guests and I teach you the secrets to mastering your health and owning your power. Nutrition, mindset, movement, and women's health are all topics you'll find here. Think of our time together as your productive little health break from the day. So grab your headphones, fill up your water, and let's dive into today's episode. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to the Mind My Wellness podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you.
Of course. I absolutely love following you on social media. Your content has been so helpful in terms of all things hormone balancing, gut health, blood sugar, which is what we're going to talk about today. So I'm really excited to have you on the podcast to talk about it. But I'd love you to give my listeners just a little intro into who you are and how you got to where you are.
Okay, of course. So I did the traditional dietetics route. I have my master's in nutrition therapy. I did my internship in a hospital, and I knew from that point that I did not want to be a clinical dietitian. I had just so much respect for those dietitians, but I also couldn't put myself in those shoes. I wanted a more holistic approach to all things nutrition and wellness. So I kind of segued. I wanted to do my own thing. I started Nourished My Nutrition as my blog, which over the years has really turned into my Instagram community. And my goal with that is not only to provide education, but also inspiration through all things wellness and how to live that out, no matter your season of life, and in a way that showcases that you don't have to be perfect in order to have wellness work for you. But over the years, I've had like my own host of struggles just with being on birth control for almost 10 years, not having a period after getting off. And that kind of ignited my fire to dive into women's health and women's hormone health specifically, and how food and our daily lifestyle habits really play a role in all of this. So not to mention, I was like undernourishing, like over-exercising, and trying to do everything right, but really what my body needed was to feel safe, to kind of like loosen up on my routines a bit, be a little bit more flexible. And that transitioned into me getting my period back, a month later getting pregnant, having my first son. And then I've been through ups and downs with postpartum. I've felt depleted. I've struggled with gut issues, which I'm kind of still struggling with now, just because stress and lack of sleep and all of the things play into how well our body functions, not just for our hormones, but everything. So my really shortened story of how I got here, but I just like sharing my knowledge in a very day-to-day inspirational way.
And I think that's why I gravitated towards you, because it's very approachable. It's very like the content that you put out. One, I'm obsessed with your recipes. They're simple, but they're so good. And I also just love how like it's very clear how authentic you are and how just realistic your lifestyle that you share with us is, especially as a mom with two kids. And so I definitely think that's why I gravitated towards you.
Thank you. And I love hearing that, because I think a lot with social media is you don't see the whole big picture of everything. And I mean, you can doom scroll until you are blue in the face, but it's not reality. And even what I share is relatable as I try to make it. It's not the whole big picture. And I think that goes into how people perceive wellness in general. Like you can want to have this idyllic wellness persona, but especially for moms, or if you're working a 9-to-5 and it's not realistic. So making it as easy and accessible as possible and reminding you that like every little step that you take to nourish your body, to support your hormones, to just feel balanced in general is going to be beneficial.
Totally. I love that approach that you take so much. I mean, I kind of deem you as like the blood sugar balancing queen in my head. So I'm really excited to dive into blood sugar regulation and like why it's important and how to regulate your blood sugar and what happens if you have these blood sugar spikes, you know, what signs and symptoms can be a result of that. So I'm excited to dive into that today with you. To kick things off, why is blood sugar so important and why is it a topic that we should really care about?
So this is one thing that I think is just so foundational, and it's getting talked about a lot nowadays, which is exciting, but I don't think people really still understand it and how it affects everything that we do. So just for starters, when we eat food, our blood sugar will rise and then naturally fall. So we do naturally get these fluctuations. And I think a common misconception with this being a hot topic is that we want our blood sugar like flatlined. We don't want to have these spikes, but this often I think is translated into, I don't want my blood sugar to rise at all, which is not the case. Like our brains thrive off glucose and our bodies need carbohydrates. We need glucose to function optimally. Like if you want to perform well in the gym, having glucose stores in your body is a good thing. Like you want those to perform well. You want those for your hormone balance. So the key really isn't to like limit your blood sugar going up at all, but you want your rises to be more like steady hills, like rising and lowering hills versus these like really, really high peaks and valleys like a mountain. And this is important because it truly affects how we feel. So signs that you may be getting a blood sugar rush and crash are almost a jittery, tingly feeling when your blood sugar is rising. It can feel like your heart beating faster. It can feel like almost anxiety or like jitteriness. And then as you start to crash, this can turn into feelings like brain fog, cravings. You're hungry again, like an hour or two after you've already eaten, fatigue. But those are just like immediate responses. Long-term responses can be things that you don't necessarily correlate with your blood sugar rising and falling. This can be waking up in the middle of the night between like 1 and 3. It can be jolting awake at night. It can be having to pee in the middle of the night, but also having to pee a lot during the day. If I didn't say fatigue, just lack of energy, feeling groggy all the time, brain fog. It can translate into period problems, lack of your period, so missing period, delayed ovulation. It is also correlated with things like PCOS. So it truly does affect our overall health and as women's, our hormones too.
That's so interesting, because before I really started thinking about how I'm eating my food and how I'm building my meals in a way that helps to support blood sugar balance, which we'll talk about, I didn't realize the amount of brain fog that I was actually experiencing. I thought that this was just, you know, this is just normal. This is just my day to day. And it really has that. And then my energy levels throughout the day too. Specifically in the afternoons, I noticed that as I was building my meals appropriately and fueling myself throughout the day, that had a completely different effect on me in a very, very positive way.
I love that for you. And I don't think people realize how bad they feel until they start feeling good.
Right.
And it's like this veil lifted off of them and they're like, oh my gosh, wait, I can feel this good. And then that just propels them forward. They want to keep doing it. They want to keep eating well. They adopt other good habits and build onto that lifestyle. And it can really start just by simply changing a few things on your plate.
Yeah. So first, what are some things that can spike your blood sugar? What are some things that we might be doing pretty regularly that can cause these really high blood sugar spikes?
Okay. So let's talk about food first, and then we're going to segue into some of the other things that spike your blood sugar that are not talked about enough. And I think sometimes they might even be having more of an effect on your blood sugar than you might even realize. So with food, a lot of things happen in the morning. So I always like to focus on the first part of the day, because if we're just grabbing a coffee or a sugary coffee or just grabbing like even a protein bar or something quick and running out the door, oftentimes there's not enough protein and it's something that's high in carbohydrate. And right off the bat, that's going to spike our blood sugar. But these common things are like an oat milk latte or a fruit smoothie or a breakfast pastry. And even if you are balancing those out, chances are the amount of carbohydrates you're having isn't enough to have a steady glucose rise. And this is often because we're not pairing those things with enough protein or fat or fiber in the morning. So that's just how I like to first tweak people's day, is like first thing in the morning. Can we eliminate things that are going to initially jolt and spike that blood sugar? I think one of the foods that many people don't react to is oatmeal. But again, we're all bio-individual. So the really interesting thing is everyone has a different carb tolerance. Everyone has a different reaction to different foods, and it can be on a spectrum. And not to make things more complicated, but during different phases of your life or even phases of the month, like during your cycle, you may respond to the carbohydrates better than a different phase. So if you're totally stressed out, you have a huge meeting, you've not been sleeping well, your body is not going to respond as well to carbohydrates as you would if you were sleeping 8 hours a night, you were very calm and on vacation. Or if you're in your luteal phase of your cycle, you may notice that you don't respond as well to carbohydrates just because you're less insulin sensitive during that time. So the biggest take home that people need to understand is that I don't want anyone to fear carbohydrates. It's just more or less about pairing them with getting enough protein, making a balanced plate. So adding fiber, adding fats, and having a reasonable amount of carbohydrates based on how you feel. So I think it's nice for people to kind of gauge like, okay, I just had a meal. It was pretty balanced. I had one or two servings of carbohydrates. How do I feel? If I have more than that, how do I feel? And instead of looking at it in a lens of almost fear around food and I don't want this to spike my blood sugar, I don't want this to feel bad, just like staying curious. So, I'm feeling a little sluggish. What did I eat? Maybe next time I'll add more protein. It doesn't always have to be reducing the carbs, which it can, but just more or less looking at it with curiosity and almost compassion for yourself. Like, what can I do to make this better next time instead of beat myself up about it now?
That's really interesting that you bring up the different phases of your cycle and how your body can respond to carbohydrates. Is this, in your opinion, is this something that, based off the cycle phases, each woman kind of experiences similar changes throughout their cycle with carbohydrates, or is it bio-individual?
So it's across the board. Like, women experience this fluctuation. Now, it could be still a bio-individual approach on how much each person is affected by it, but it does happen. Research shows that women are less insulin sensitive, meaning that their insulin isn't functioning as optimally during their luteal phase versus their late follicular phase, where it is the most sensitive.
That's so interesting.
So that's not to say that you shouldn't eat carbohydrates during your luteal phase, because we actually need carbohydrates for progesterone production and for our body to feel safe. And we're craving more carbohydrates because our energy needs go up a little bit. So instead, it's more or less focusing on those complex carbohydrates, still making sure you're getting enough protein, fat, and fiber, but not trying to get our carbohydrate needs through simple refined carbohydrates or a lot of processed packaged snacks or sweets, because those cravings can kick in and they almost kick in double time when our blood sugar is imbalanced. So if we're riding that blood sugar roller coaster in our luteal phase and we're getting these intense cravings, it's almost going to be even more intense because of the fluctuation in blood sugar.
So interesting. You know, I see like glucose goddess is a great example of actually seeing these spikes and more of the hills that you talk about versus the mountains. And so for anybody listening who hasn't looked at glucose goddess, check out her Instagram too, because she has these actual like visuals, which are really great to see exactly kind of what Jess is talking about here in terms of those spikes.
And it's really interesting. Her graphs are phenomenal. If anyone ever gets a chance to do a continuous glucose monitor, that's a really easy way to see your bio-individual response to glucose. I think it's a really fascinating thing. I think for some people, it can become obsessive. But if you are eating a certain way and you have maybe like a good routine going, you know, the foods that you think make you feel good and you eat regularly on a weekly basis, it can be interesting to see how your body responds to them. I've been doing it here and there, and this will segue into the next topics about stress and sleep, of how even eating similar things on a week-to-week basis, when my body is overly taxed and stressed and just not optimal, like when I was recently postpartum, not sleeping through the night, my stress is a little higher. I'm trying to adjust to two kids. My blood sugar was so much higher eating the same foods that I'm eating now, but because of that lifestyle factor that plays a role. And I don't think people know how much stress and sleep can really affect blood sugar.
Okay. I love this because I know just the impact of stress and sleep in terms of like how your body is, whether it's able to experience weight loss or we're experiencing some weight loss resistance. And oftentimes I notice it when it comes to sleep and stress. So this is very interesting to me because I didn't know this about blood sugar. So yeah, do you mind diving in a little bit more with this?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I first became aware of this when I was postpartum with my first son. So this also kind of jump-started my deep dive into the topic of blood sugar and my love for it. But I was just noticing, feeling off, and, you know, people would say, oh, you're a new mom. I'm like, I'm like a year out now and something just doesn't feel right. Like, I know my son isn't sleeping through the night. I know I'm not sleeping great, but this isn't just sleep deprivation. Like, and I don't want to feel like this. Like, okay, yes, I might be sleep deprived, a new mom. Yes, but, and I don't want to feel like this. I want to change something. So what really is going on? And I was working with a functional medicine doctor and she recommended doing a glucose monitor. And I was shocked by like how much my blood sugar was rising, my fasting glucose level, and I was doing nothing different eating wise. Like I was still trying to prioritize protein. I thought I was doing everything right. And until I got kind of the sleep in check and took control of my stress. And I know people are like, well, I'm stressed. How am I supposed to change my whole life? And it's not about changing your whole life and getting rid of stress altogether, but more so building your stress resilience, because stress is going to ebb and flow, but it's how we respond and how we get back out of that heightened like fight or flight state and back into more of like a calm parasympathetic state on a regular basis. We don't want to be too low all the time or too high all the time. We kind of want to flow in and out of those states. And it's more about being mindful throughout your whole day. So like, am I starting my morning, which I was doing, and I still sometimes do, and I notice how it totally affects how I feel. But like, am I jumping on my computer right away and like trying to get work done or answer emails before the kids wake up? Or am I doing my breath work and meditation and reading a book for like the first 30 minutes before I try to dive into something? And as simple as that is, and as hard as it is for me to do sometimes, like taking those minutes to myself, it totally has a different effect on that whole day and how I feel and how I show up and how quick I am to not snap at my four-year-old, at how my blood sugar actually responds to the foods I'm eating. And it's simple things like that, taking time for yourself. Maybe if you're a mom and you are putting your kids down for a nap, instead of running around trying to rush and fold clothes or straighten up the house, you take 10 minutes for yourself. You make a cup of tea. You use that time to do some mindful movement, maybe a little Pilates or whatever it is, but you give structured breaks throughout the day to kind of reset. That is signaling to your nervous system that you're safe, you're calm, that everything's fine, and you bring this sense of calmness and resiliency back to your body, which is what you ultimately need.
I hope you're loving today's episode. I wanted to quickly interrupt to share with you something that I only wish I knew years ago on my health journey that changed everything for me. I was the girl who had tried every diet under the sun, worked out 7 days a week, yet was constantly left feeling disappointed that all my hard work and time wasn't paying off. Can you relate? If the answer is yes, then my free training, 3 Steps to Transform Your Body with Macros, is just for you. In this training, I share the secrets to leveraging your metabolism to lose fat without restriction, eliminating the foods you love, or sacrificing a life well lived. So if you're ready to say so long to yo-yo dieting and kick low-calorie diets to the curb, you're not going to want to miss this free training. Head on over to mindedmymacros.com/free-training to register today. Or you can head on over to my show notes to find the link. I hope to see you there. All right, now back to the episode. I've said this before on my podcast because I bring on other experts in different related fields, and there are so many common themes, and stress and sleep are definitely two of the top ones. And it's really interesting, as you were saying that, I was thinking about another episode where I had a brain scientist on, and she was talking about these 5-minute brain breaks throughout the day for very specific reasons that are kind of similar to what you're talking about. But what you're talking about is helping blood sugar. What she's talking about is helping her brain function. And it's amazing how we can just start to implement these little habits throughout our day. And I know at first it can seem really overwhelming, especially if you're like trying to wear 16 different hats, but implementing these little things, starting small. I love what you said about previously about not feeling like you have to do everything perfectly, but just like incorporate little things that can really help. And not only is it going to help your blood sugar, but really going to have a huge effect on your overall health as well. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yes. And it's truly incredible how interconnected everything is. So if your gut's not functioning optimally, you're probably not sleeping well. Your inflammation's probably high. You're probably in this heightened stress mode. Your hormones are probably imbalanced, which affects your blood sugar. It's like all connected. And I can see how easily people get overwhelmed because they're like, where do I even start? Or what can I do? And it really begins with what's on your plate. And then I would say you really need to focus on your stress and sleep. And I think what people focus on, especially when weight loss is involved, is what I'm eating and working out. And they try to like do more and more and more and more, eat less, less, exercise more. And that's not what your body really needs. So some tips for prioritizing sleep is the one that no one wants to hear. And it's so hard to do is not scrolling on your phone before bed. I'm guilty of it. Like, yeah. I'm not perfect, but I know that blue light really does affect my quality of sleep. And then if you're waking up between like 1 and 3 and you just can't kick it, really integrating those mindfulness practices throughout the day. But also you may need a bedtime snack. And I don't think this is talked about enough because the intermittent fasting craze is running rampant. And by no means am I trying to bash it. I think it's very beneficial for some populations. If sometimes if you have PCOS, if you're in menopause, if you're a man, if you are not stressed at all, which I can say most of the people who I see on Instagram needing help or who have come to me in my Foundations for Hormone Balance community or just like in my DMs or wanting to do one-on-one coaching is they are overly stressed and taxed. And that is not the time to do this long intermittent fasting. And even if it's done appropriately for a woman's cycle, if you are stressed, your body is not going to respond well to it. So yes, a like 10 to 12 hour break for digestion is great overnight, ideally like around that 12 hours. But again, your individual needs are going to shift. So if you are waking up at that 1 to 3 time and you're integrating things that support your liver and your stress and cortisol management, and you're still waking up, having a carbohydrate-rich snack that's paired with a little bit of protein or fat may actually do wonders for you. And that gives your body glucose and kind of lets it store in the liver, and the liver kicks in throughout the night to like give you that steady stream of glucose that you need. Because on the flip side, when people think of glucose spikes, we also don't want our glucose dropping too low. And I often see that happening at night in women. It will drop too low, and then to kick their glucose back up into an appropriate level, the cortisol rises also. And you get this like little bit of jolt in the middle of the night and you're waking up like, okay, what just happened? Why am I awake?
I felt that. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't think, again, we should demonize carbs. They can be a very good thing. They can be very supportive, and they can also maybe help you get that better night's sleep.
When it comes to that snack before sleep, for anybody listening who's like, ooh, maybe I want to implement that, how soon, like how close to bedtime? And then what type of, like, do you have a specific snack that comes to mind that you could recommend?
That's a really great question, because you hear all the time about avoiding food before you go to bed. And I think, again, you have to play around with it as an individual. And if you're eating early, like a 5 or 6 o'clock dinner, and you're going to bed around 9, 10, that's kind of a long span. So if you're eating dinner around 6 and you are trying to wake up around like 5 or 6 and eat your breakfast like within an hour of waking, you're getting that 12-hour fast. But if you're not sleeping well, if you're jolting awake between 1 and 3, if you are still waking up hungry, having that snack like an hour, 30 minutes before bed, especially if you're eating an early dinner, I think it can be really helpful. So for me, I have a pretty high carb tolerance at night, and I can eat a banana and peanut butter with no spike before bed, maybe because I've had something to eat around 5 or 6. And that really keeps my blood sugar stable. Now, you might want to try like an apple or peanut butter. Some people can do well with even like lower carbohydrates, like berries and like some Greek yogurt. I wouldn't go for anything like process. So not a bowl of cereal, or some people who tolerate dairy, a glass of milk, because that's balanced with protein, fat, and carbohydrates. But I would play around with maybe some type of fruit and like a little bit of fat or a little bit of protein, like coconut yogurt, Greek yogurt, that kind of thing to kind of balance it just a bit.
That's funny because I actually, with my functional medicine doctor, I was waking up pretty consistently around like 2 a.m. and we did some blood work. We were just looking at some data and he was like, how about you implement, because I'm the early bird special girl. Like I love my dinner early. And then, you know, I'd have that window of time before bed where I wasn't eating. So I implemented Greek yogurt with berries, either strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, or maybe a mixture of all of them. And it totally helped. So it's really interesting hearing you say this. I know. It totally helped.
Yeah.
Me like actually feel well rested and sleep through the night. And it was so funny because I thought it was, you know, we're diving into all of these other things that it could be. But yeah, having that snack before bed. And for me, I was doing it like 45 minutes to an hour before bed. And that was helping me. So I love that you brought that up.
I love getting that feedback too. And like, that's a real life example that, hey, it works. So
yeah.
But I will say if you're eating dinner on the later side, it may just be instead of eating like a very low carb dinner, making sure you're having a carbohydrate. Or maybe, you know, if you're only having one serving, maybe try having 2 servings at that time and see if that helps. If you are eating closer to bedtime or you're eating a later dinner, I think it's important to kind of remember that people do like to have desserts. So if you're having dessert, it's best for blood sugar to have it like right after a meal instead of like if you were to have a cookie or a bowl of ice cream, it would be better to have your dessert right after a meal to reduce how high your blood sugar will spike because you're getting a meal with protein, fat, fiber, hopefully. And then you're having that dessert, which makes it almost a little bit more of like a balanced dessert. But if you're having an early dinner and then you're like, oh, it's 8:30, I'm going to have that bowl of ice cream now, or I'm going to have that cookie now, that's not as great for your blood sugar because you don't have that like extra padding of the protein, fat, and fiber. And then that really won't help you sleep. It's going to kind of make your blood sugar a little bit rocky through the night and you could still experience those like dips and falls.
Great clarification. Yeah. So anybody listening, it's not your time to go grab the cookie. It's awesome. So just to kind of recap, because you've covered a lot of tips as well in terms of how to balance your blood sugar. And I love that you mentioned like we don't want it to be this completely stable line because I do think this is such a hot topic right now. Like everyone's like, oh my gosh, I don't want my blood sugar to spike, like you said. But we've covered some of the tips that you have in terms of like building balanced meals with that protein, the fiber, you know, carbs and fat in those meals, managing stress and sleep being a big part of that too. Are there any other tips that we might have missed that you recommend?
Well, some that I didn't share, which are more or less little hacks that you can do to throughout your day to kind of make your blood sugar more stable is to move after a meal. And this doesn't have to mean like go work out. This can literally be like straightening up your house or picking up your kids' toys or going for a family walk, getting outside with the kids and playing, but like literally moving just around will help not have your blood sugar spike as high because your muscles are soaking up that glucose. A few things that you can do before a meal is drink water with apple cider vinegar or lemon. I know lemon juice is probably more palatable, but apple cider vinegar really does work, can reduce the blood sugar spike by 30%. So like just a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in your water. You can also incorporate it into recipes if you like salads, then having that in like a dressing, just you want to make sure that you're getting enough. So that's why putting it in water is like the easiest thing you can do. You can use digestive bitters, which help with your insulin response. And you're supporting your digestion and your blood sugar. So you're getting the benefits of both right there. And it's an easy way to incorporate something into your day. And then also, I think I really just want to hit home on the more protein and fiber that you have on your plate, the more stable your blood sugar is going to be. So ideally aiming for at least 30 grams of protein per meal. you may find that you need more to feel energized and good. And I think as women, we are kind of trained by society to think that we need to eat less and our plates need to be smaller. And that's not the case. I think when you fill your plate with the right nourishment and the right amounts that work for you, it's often more than you think you really need. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think it is really eye-opening when women who have been eating so little and trying to almost shrink themselves, shrink what they're eating, shrink who they are in general to fix a problem, are opened to the possibility that maybe they need more and they incorporate it and they feel amazing. They don't gain weight. They may even lose weight and they have the energy. Their blood sugar is stable. Their period is regular. Maybe it's come back and all these things kind of like are snowballed into how optimal health and how good they can feel.
Oh, I love that. I preach this a lot in terms of, you know, eating more, not less. And yeah, it's such a societal, especially as women, we're kind of taught that it's eating low calorie. That's how we lose weight. That's how we maintain weight. And the truth of that is that's just not true. And no individual should be eating the same amount of calories. Like each individual is so bio-individual and has their own caloric needs. And so I love that you brought that up too.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fascinating. And it takes time to get there and to learn what works for you and not be inundated and influenced by all the noise that is out there. But it's really, really beautiful when you do find something that works and you start to feel like yourself again.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, last question I have, kind of like a fun question, but what are some of your food staples that you like to have at home to help with blood sugar regulation, but just in general? Like what are some foods that you always have in your fridge?
I weekly buy a rotisserie chicken because it's like the easiest protein and you can also make bone broth with it and it's so much cheaper. So an organic rotisserie chicken I always have on hand. And then if you look at my fridge, I don't really have a lot of processed foods. I really try to stick to whole foods as much as possible, but apples, peanut butter, bananas, leafy greens, and cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower. Those are kind of my go-to. Sweet potatoes, squashes. Like if you were grocery shopping with me, I get those weekly just because they're so versatile and they're nourishing.
If there are any mamas listening, I highly recommend going to your page, your Instagram page, Nourished by Nutrition, and you do such a good job of like incorporating those healthy foods into your kids' foods as well, like incorporating that with your kids. I love seeing that.
Thank you. And I really try with this, but I will say I am not perfect. I mean, I also buy chicken nuggets. I buy all the crackers and kids' snacks. I try to do healthier ingredient lists, but my almost 4-year-old has now hit a phase where he doesn't want to eat anything healthy and anything beige is like the only thing, beige and fruit.
Okay.
My carboholic over here. And his current phrase is, because my younger son is one and will eat anything. He's like, well, Henry eats that, so I don't eat that anymore. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, well, we're going to keep it on your plate and maybe one day you'll eat it again. But thank you. I try to make balanced plates for him. He gets to decide if he's going to eat it or not, which right now feels like more often than not, he's not eating it.
But it's an uphill battle.
Yes, it's an uphill battle. And I do believe in exposure. So just keep putting it there, keep trying to make it balanced. And it's hard. Hard mamas. I get it.
Well, amazing. Okay. I know you have a new program. Can you tell us a little bit about this program?
Yes. So the Foundations of Hormone Balance is exactly what it sounds like. I'm helping you get the foundations in place. So cutting through the noise that's out there, and we're focusing on optimal nourishment, your blood sugar, your stress, sleep, gut health, and detoxification, which in a more focused way is liver function, because we're bombarded with endocrine disruptors and chemicals. And even though everyone thinks that we don't need to detox. The truth is our livers these days are just so overburdened. So I'm helping kind of break down those areas of focus into very manageable daily practices and how to set that up over the course of 4 weeks, how to build nourishing meals, and how you can feel your best, resolve your period problems. And it just launched in January, and I have had so much success with it from the women who have done it. And it's really, really great to see that the little tweaks that you can make in your foundational habits truly make the biggest difference. You don't need to buy all the supplements or do all these crazy crash diets or anything extreme, really. It really comes back to those foundational principles, but being able to do them on a day-to-day basis and not get overwhelmed.
And Jess has been so amazing that she is offering my listeners 30% off her program with the code MMW30. So Jess, where can we go and find this program?
So you can go to foundations.nourishedbynutrition.com, which is also linked in my Instagram bio, which is just easier to get to if you just want one click. And my Instagram handle is nourishedbynutrition.
Amazing. And I'll also link it down in the show notes for anyone who just wants to scroll on down and click it with ease. But Jess, thank you so much for all of your knowledge. Again, anybody who doesn't follow Jess, go follow her at Nourished by Nutrition right now, because I promise you, you are not going to regret it. And I appreciate your time being on the podcast. Thanks so much, Jess.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. I love hearing from you. So shoot me a DM over on Instagram at @mindandmymacros to keep the convo going. If you've learned anything from this episode or any of my past episodes, I'd really love it if you took a few seconds to leave a quick rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I love hearing what you've learned or what you've taken away from any of these episodes. It means so much to me when you do that. And if you have any friends you know that need a little help kicking some old dieting mentalities to the curb and want some simple, effective, and sustainable tips to feel their best, share a link to this episode with them. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.